Talk a little bit about Edgar Cayce when we come back, and what is really happening here? What is the soul trying to achieve through multiple incarnations? What does it want to do? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about Edgar Cayce and his spiritual evolution, and from your perspective, of course.
Well, Edgar Cayce, known as the Sleeping Prophet, is an interesting fellow. Apparently, he also came out of a traditional Christian background, and it never really left him. He embraced Christianity all of his life, even while he was doing his readings. One of the things that came out of a lot of his readings was the idea of past lives. He contended that a lot of the physical ailments that we experienced in our present lives were a result of some physical condition that we hadn't dealt with in a past life. And so he would recommend different solutions to this, and people would show response to it and physical healing.
He was incredible in his trance-like state. Can we say that that was part of reincarnation or something else?
Well, the trances that he went into was how he accessed this information. He apparently had the ability to not just look at his own past lives, but to delve into other people's past lives, people who were sitting right in the room with him, sometimes even people who weren't there. So that's what made him unique. The trance itself was just a mechanism of accessing this information, though.
He had incredible karma, Jeff. Does that have anything to do with this?
Well, I don't think so. If anything, he might have been an older soul who had come to this planet to facilitate this process of spiritual understanding in our culture. But in terms of karma, I don't know. I'm not a big proponent of karma myself. I think it's been abused a lot, and it's misunderstood by a lot of people.
Really? How so?
Well, a lot of people think that they are living a difficult life as a punishment for something bad they did in a previous life. This is, of course, a big part of the caste system in India, where the untouchables and the lower class people are left to suffer because they are supposed to suffer as a result of the bad things they did in their previous lives. I believe, however, that this is a misnomer. I don't believe that we are given a hard life or some kind of a punitive karma as a result of something that we might have done in another life. That just, to me, just doesn't hold together logically, and it's an abusive understanding of the whole concept.
Now, you've heard of the difference between, you know, psychic vampires and, you know, people who are extremely positive, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Why do you say that with a little hesitation?
I'm not really sure what you mean by psychic vampire.
Well, people who have an incredible ability to just suck energy from other people.
Okay.
Intentional or not.
All right.
Now, other people have an incredible ability to be very positive, outgoing, friendly. In reincarnation, what could you say about the two people?
Well, all I would say is that if your resident soul is basically outgoing, I think that's going to be reflected in whatever personality it manifests. So you are a reflection of the soul inside of you, or that generated you. As far as what you call a psychic vampire, there are people who seem to really be able to pick up on other people's frequencies, and they draw strength off that, you know, almost an extroverted sort of personality types. What that has to do with reincarnation, I don't really know. It has to do more with the energy of a particular personality, I think, than anything to do with reincarnation.
Does the soul that's about ready to reincarnate select the body that it's going to go into? Does it have choice?
I do believe so. I think there's a free will decision to be made. Not that all souls will necessarily choose. They may just jump into the first fetus they can find if they're particularly young souls and they don't really put a lot of thought into it. But I do think that for older, more mature, seasoned souls do actually take the time to make a decision, and they actually do look for particular venues that they want to experience and will come back into those.
Do you think it can see the entire future of that being? It will know exactly what is going to happen?
No, I don't think that the personality that's manifested can see that. Once you pick a venue, that's really where the selection process, the choice, really ends. Because once you come into that body, then there's a number of different events that will happen that can shape it one way or the other. So in other words, you're not going to see the end result, but you can see the beginning.
I've, you know, remember the old play, and it was a movie, Carousel, and old Billy Bigelow had died, and then the scene starts where he's up there, I guess, cleaning stars, and the guy sends him back, and, you know, he just sends him back. He basically was reincarnated, and he came back again. Probably one of the best illustrations, I think, in a very interesting musical way, of the fact that this was going on a long time ago and there was a belief system. But do you know, if you were to meet someone who was a priest or some other theologian, would they fight you tooth and nail on this stuff?
Well, I guess that would depend on where they're at in their own spiritual journey. I have found that when I encounter people and get into a conversation about reincarnation or spirituality or ghosts and things like that, it's almost as though the people were sent to me. And I meet these people when I'm supposed to meet them. And so if I encountered a priest or I encountered a minister or somebody like that, and we got into a conversation about reincarnation, my assumption would be that I'm in that conversation for a reason. Either I'm going to help answer some of their questions, or maybe I'm just going to redefine my own understanding to some degree because they bring up an objection that I hadn't thought of. But everything happens for a reason, I believe. So that's what I go into every conversation about this with the understanding that this was meant to be.
This was meant to be. That's an interesting way of looking at it. What happens to someone who... Is there a difference between a soul and a ghost?
The ghost is the disembodied energy of a human personality. In other words, when we die, that personality that was generated by the soul is essentially shed. What it does, however, it'll sometimes hold on in a kind of a twilight zone between the two realms, the spirit and the physical realm. And it's basically a spiritual entity, but it's subjected to time and space to some degree, which is why hauntings occur in a particular place at particular times, because that personality is still attracted or attached to the physical realm. It refuses to sort of move on into the spiritual realm.
So there's probably no way then that a ghost, like part of its soul, would ever get reincarnated while it was still a ghost.
Well, not really. Remember, the personality does not reincarnate. It's the soul that reincarnates.
Right.
The personality is like the leaf on the tree. The soul is the tree. So it doesn't really matter what happens to the leaf. The tree is going to keep bringing out new leaves, new buds all the time, whether the leaf dies or falls to the ground, whatever happens to it. So whether or not a personality exists remains in, you know, earthbound. It has nothing to do with the schedule of the souls reincarnating.
Why is it that ancient civilizations, Eastern civilizations, picked up on this quicker than we have?
Well, I don't know. I suspect because they are older civilizations and they had more time to think about it. I mean, you know, we in the West, we tend to think that history began with the Western world. But, you know, China and India and these cultures are much older than even Greece and Rome and the Western cultures that we're aware of. So they were, I think that they were more in tune spiritually with what was happening than we in the West. We were much more scientific oriented in the West, whereas in the East, I think they're more intuitive.
Well, this quest for incarnations, what is the soul, what is the spirit, what is it trying to attain? What does it want?
Well, to answer that question, you have to understand how it would be to live in a world of pure spiritual energy. In other words, where let's say that God existed, but there was no physical realm. There was only the realm of spirit. Well, God could conceive of everything that there is to conceive of, but could never experience any of it, right?
All right.
So he has to create a physical realm, some place, and a mechanism by which he can immerse himself into that and experience each of these things. So what the soul is doing is they're essentially God's sensory organs, and they are coming into physicality to experience an infinite number of venues and experiences that God is taking in simultaneously, so God can get an essence of itself, if you will. So that's the whole point of this whole process.
Well, what determines, though, whether it is reincarnated a couple times or multiple times? I mean, what's the basis of learning here?
Well, it's really the agenda of the individual soul. Some souls look to reincarnate hundreds or thousands of times in an earthly venue. Others may have another agenda. Maybe a couple of incarnations is all they want to do here. Maybe they want to work in a different dimension or a different sort of understanding. So it really depends on what each individual soul is trying to or wants to accomplish.
Does it have choice, or is there some entity that forces them to reincarnate again?
No, I think they have choice, but they're compelled to do this in the same way that a tree is compelled to grow. It's not forced to grow, but it's compelled to by its very nature. And I think God is compelled to experience itself in the same way. It's not, there's no real forcing going on, but there's free will decisions about how you want to experience that growth.
I mean, it is kind of mind-boggling how someone can be reincarnated several times, and others maybe 20, 30, maybe even more. I mean, we've had some guests on the program, Jeff, who think that some people have been reincarnated 300 times. I mean, that's a lot of lives.
Well, if you're familiar with the writings of Neil Donald Walsh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's been on the program.
In his first book, I think God tells him that he's been reincarnated over 400 times. So it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, man has been on this planet for 50 to 100,000 years. Well, think about it. If you reincarnate, say, once a century, and man's been here for 50,000 years, that's a lot of reincarnating.
It's a lot of lives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's certainly conceivable that there's hundreds of reincarnations going on in any one life.
Let's bring in evil for a moment. Does the other side, the side of evil, the devil, is there anything going on that end with reincarnation?
Well, I don't personally believe in a devil. I do believe there are malevolent energies that exist that kind of tune in to certain negative energy that we put out.
Yeah.
And they're attracted to that, and they sort of suck it out, sort of like your psychic vampire idea. But in terms of a devil, per se, or a Satan, or a leader of evil forces, I don't really buy that. However, I think that evil is a necessary element in order to understand good. You can't have something without its opposite.
Well, do you believe in the angelic realm?
Well, I do believe that there are spiritual beings that interact in our physical realm for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We call these creatures angels,
right,
which is kind of the religious symbology we've given them. You can call them spirit guides. You can call them higher selves. You can call them whatever you want. They do the same sort of thing. But what I kind of shy away from is the idea that God simply created angels and devils, and you know, some of the angels fell and became devils, and you know, they're fighting it out here on Earth. I don't really buy that. But I do think that there are these entities that are making decisions and interacting in our physical realm in different ways for different reasons.
How about deja vu? How does that fit into this, Jeff?
Well, deja vu is kind of an interesting phenomena. There's two types of it. One is where you think you've done something before or had a conversation. It seems familiar to you. That is probably explained more through the fact that you probably did have a similar conversation and you just forgot about it, so it reminds you of it. The kind of deja vu which is significant to reincarnation is where you can go into a building or into a town that you've never been in before, and you know all the details, like you've been there before, but you've never really have visited in this lifetime. And so I think that those are little flashes sometimes of past lives that we don't necessarily, we're not consciously aware of them, but all of a sudden, under the right circumstances, they click in and we suddenly remember.
These crossing over of other dimensions, Is it possible that you might be able to cross over and reincarnate on another planet and remember it under regression? Has anybody talked about being on another planet?
Yeah, it has come up occasionally in past life regressions, but they're rare. I do think that it certainly is possible that if you were on another planet, if you were a sentient being there and you came into an Earth venue, there's no reason I can think of why you wouldn't be able to retain that memory. The only thing is that the environment might be so different that your current personality, which is the filter that's accessing these memories, might not be able to express it because it is such a different environment from what it can understand.
It's too bad we couldn't have a real camera to our past lives and bring those pictures back with us.
Oh, that would be amazing. The things that you could come back from the past, I always thought it would be great to know what it was like to live in ancient Rome, be able to walk the streets for a few hours just to see what it's like, assuming I can come back and have dinner. You know, I don't want
assuming you can come back.
Yeah, I don't want to stay there. I just want to visit for a few hours.
Is reincarnation, Jeff, almost like being in a time machine?
Well, I suppose being existing is like being in a time machine, you know, in effect. Yeah, I guess it is in some ways because it does allow you to sort of get little snapshots of the past. But when I had my past life regression, it was more like I felt how things were in the past rather than saw them, if that makes sense. You know, when I was, say, in New England back in the 1890s, I more or less felt that environment rather than actually saw it, which is kind of the strange thing with past life memories.
Jeff, what do people get at your website, ourcuriousworld.com?
Right.
What's on there?
Well, I've got articles about reincarnation, about ghosts. I've got stuff about Atlantis and some religion and spirituality, some odds and ends, a lot of kind of different things. It's kind of a clearinghouse. People can send me an email, see what I think about certain ideas, and I write them back. And I just wanted kind of a place that people could go and just sort of explore these ideas without worrying about being converted or, you know, ridiculed or anything like that.
Tell us when we come back about James the Submarine Man, if you can, all right?
Absolutely.
We'll do that. And it just, you know, you've done a great job. You've been at this for, what, 5 years specifically with reincarnation?
Well, among other things, yeah. This is not the only thing I do. I do ghosts and other things, too. But, yeah, among them, this is one of them.
But there is that crossover, you believe, between ghosts and reincarnation?
Well, the whole reason I wrote my ghost book was because of the loose ends I had left over after writing the reincarnation book. I need to explain, where did ghosts come from then? How do they fit into this? And that started a whole other book.
I got to ask you a few ghost questions too, because, you know, that is something that is always on everybody's mind here. Why in the heck do they stay, Jeff?
Because they're overly attached to something in the physical realm, either a person or a place. Sometimes they're afraid to move on because of the fear of judgment or hell. You know, that kind of a thing.
Do they know they're dead?
I think most of them do. They may not be willing to acknowledge it, but I suspect that most of them do understand that they have passed over. But they, for whatever reason, they feel compelled to stay in the physical world because that's where they're comfortable being.
Okay, well, stay with us. Jeff will talk about James the Submarine Man when we come back and some other issues. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines for questions or perhaps you know what your reincarnated past was. You can share that with us. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. After Dark Newsletter, it's available to you by calling 1-888-727-5505. You could also go online at coasttocoastam.com. It's a full newsletter that looks like a magazine. It's a highlight of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with our guest, Jeff Allen Danilak. Well, you weren't named after J. Allen Hynek by any chance, were you?
No, he was named after me.
You're not that old, Jeff. Hey, tell us about the Submarine Man.
Well, that's an interesting case I outlined in my book. This was a story that's also on Unsolved Mysteries. To sum it up, there was a gentleman in California named Bruce Kelly back in the late '70s or late '80s, I believe, and he had a tremendous fear of water, hydrophobia, they call it. He couldn't even be in a bathtub. That's how afraid of water he was, and it started affecting his job. So he went into a California hypnotherapist named Rick Brown, who past life regressed him, and it turns out that he remembered being on an American submarine that sank in World War II. And not just that, but he could tell you his name, the name of the submarine, the date it sank, all of these different details. And in later investigations, they found that all of this information proved to be historically accurate. Now, this gentleman claims to have no interest in World War II or submarines, but he still came up with this. What was really interesting is that in subsequent sessions, Rick Brown sent the man back further into that life. Mm-hmm. Before he was in the Navy, this information would not have been a matter of public record like the manifest of a submarine in World War II would be. And he found information. He had been in CCC, Depression-era jobs, where the hometown he grew up in, people who knew him. And all of this research that Rick Brown did subsequent to these investigations proved to be accurate. And in my opinion, is one of the best documented cases of past life recall and reincarnation on record.
That is pretty incredible.
So much of it was able to be documented from government documents and historical records that it's either one of the best hoaxes ever or it's reincarnation. I don't see anything in between those two.
Have some people tried to hoax these things, Jeff?
Yeah, I think there are people who have attempted to manufacture past life recall. It's rare, apparently, and most good hypnotherapists can tell when someone is remembering things. They tend to do it by rote. They'll give you names and dates and places that are accurate, but they really you don't really get the sense that they're there. In other words, they're not really good enough actors to pull it off.
Well, they try, though, don't they?
Oh, I think there are a few people, but it's hard to find an incentive for doing that other than just, for grins and giggles, I guess. But that doesn't sound to me like enough incentive to do the kind of research would be necessary to do to make a believable past life recall.
Have you ever had a case where someone, had this past life regression, found out who they were, and just went crazy, went nuts because of their past life?
I haven't come across anywhere it was that kind of a trauma. There are people who are uncomfortable with the fact that they might have been, say, a prostitute, or they might have been a criminal of some kind.
Or a killer.
Yeah, or some kind of a killer or something like that, or maybe a pacifist that found out that they used to be a Nazi or something like that. I can imagine a Jewish gentleman being reincarnated, being tested and find out he was a Nazi. I can imagine that would be very disconcerting to him. So, but in terms of somebody say, "Oh, I used to be Hitler," and just going nuts over that, I haven't heard of anything like that happening.
When this occurs and people do hear something about a past life they probably didn't like, do they carry it with them, or do they just kind of like sweep it under the carpet?
Well, I guess it's up to the individual. I suppose if I don't think you could really completely get rid of it. If you found out that you had been a mass murderer in a past life, I would think that's something that would be hard to just sort of sweep under the rug.
That would eat you alive.
To some degree. However, you could also use it as a positive and understand that since you understand what it is to be in that darkness, that you're going to commit your life to being a man of peace in this lifetime. So it could have a positive effect, too.
I think it would haunt me if I knew that, that had happened to me.
Well, see, I also understand that my past life is not me. I mean, that was a different guy. The German soldier I was in World War II is not the same person that's talking to you now. We both generate from the same soul. But that was a whole different guy. So no matter what he did, that's not what I did.
They've got to be some similarities, though, in personality traits. Don't they carry over a little bit?
Yeah, to some degree. I think people who are naturally curious about stuff. I think that carries over from personality to personality. And people who are naturally patient, certain, you know, people who are very academic. I do believe there are different kinds of souls. I think there are souls that are more academic oriented, more intellectual. Some souls are more feeling oriented, maybe more feminine, you might call them. Some souls are martial. They seem to enjoy being in the military. So there's a whole different range of things like that.
Is there anything that came out of all this in your work that was dramatically new?
Well, I think the most unexpected thing that I found in my own past life regression was my life as a kind of a street thug in London in the 1830s. I had never expected something like that because, you know, that's so different from what my life is now. The idea that I was kind of this street tough who kind of got by on his wits and his fists and died of tuberculosis at the age of 20, really kind of blew me away. I hadn't sort of anticipated that kind of a past life.
All right. At any point in this life, did you have any of those traits?
No, I really don't think so. Although, like most people, I can get, you know, very upset or very angry, and I do think in terms of violence. And I think that perhaps that is a echo from one of these past lives, either as the German soldier or as the street thug, that maybe sometimes my first instinct is to strike out, whereas when I take the time to think about where that came from, and then I can kind of deal with it and put it away and deal with the situation in a more constructive manner. So it does perhaps impact me a little bit.
Well, because you died of tuberculosis in that other life, do you get sick now in this life?
No, I don't. Actually, I'm remarkably healthy. I think that tuberculosis was more of a side thing. This guy, he just sort of got it and died. And it wasn't like he was a sickly man his whole life. He just, this was just one event in his life that killed him because he had no kind of health care or anything like that.
And I assume that we will continue to reincarnate throughout the end of time.
Well, certainly through there won't be an end of time because remember, there's no time outside the spiritual realm. But we would reincarnate as long as we want to experience a certain number of things in this venue. At some point, we will probably not reincarnate here on Earth. We might reincarnate elsewhere or go do something else in another spiritual realm.
Are new souls generated beyond the reincarnated souls?
No, I don't believe that there are new souls being created, but I do think that there are souls that are coming into physicality at different times. So what we call a new soul is no older than anyone else's soul or any newer than someone else's soul. It's just that it's starting to process later than anyone else.
Were all these souls created at the same time?
Right. I believe that God essentially exploded, if you will, into trillions or infinite number of little pieces, which we call souls, all simultaneously. Obviously, this isn't something that happened one day. This is something that is continually ongoing.
And that they just simply waited around for their physical host, I guess.
Right, they may have been doing something else in another format. They may have... Remember, they're not sitting around for like 5,000 years wondering what they should do. There's no such concept as 5,000 years in the spiritual realm. So then when they go into physicality, it says if it all happened instantly at the moment of their creation, even though from our perspective, they're coming into the scene at a much later time than others have.
Has anybody in a past life ever recalled this heaven state? Though you don't believe in heaven per se, have they seen the other side?
Well, it's not correct to say I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe heaven is a final estate where a person dies and they go there and that's where they're at. But I do believe that the spiritual realm is a place of light and love. So people who recall the in-between states between incarnations frequently recall it as being a very beautiful place. I also believe that we can take our ability to create things with our own mind and we can transfer that into the next realm so that when we die, we can actually create the sort of heaven that we would like to have.
I would love to hear a case where somebody said that they were an extraterrestrial and could pinpoint exactly where they came from, so we could maybe aim some of our SETI listening devices out that way.
Yeah, that would be really helpful if they could come up with that kind of information.
But nobody's been that complete, I guess, huh?
Well, it's difficult. When you're in a past life regression, a lot of the details are very hazy. For example, as a German soldier, I couldn't recall my name or specific details, but I could tell you about some of my comrades. I could tell you about other things that I could see, but it was very difficult to come up with real specific details.
How do we know the brain isn't just pulling back old dreams that we have long since forgotten?
Well, I mean, that's always a possibility. That's why you look for verifiable information, things that can be verified historically. That would supersede the idea that it's a dream. The other thing you got to understand is that a lot of people who have past life memories have very ordinary, mundane lives. They're not famous people. They're farmers or merchants or housewives or soldiers. And the question is, why would the brain create this kind of a mundane memory? What would be the point? If you're going to make up a past life, I would think you'd make it at least interesting.
Well, I was going to say, are the past lives generally just common people? You know, I've heard some where people think, you know, I was an Egyptian pharaoh, and I was this, and I was that. They seem to have been positions of importance.
Well, in the studies done by Helen Wambach, she did demographic studies back in the 80s, where she hypnotized over 1,000 people, different time eras in history, and
right.
Then record, you know, what kind of socioeconomic class they were in. And she discovered that the vast majority of the people she hypnotized, something like 75 to 80%, were either lower or middle class. She rarely had people who were in upper classes and nobility. I think that there are people who believe they were Cleopatra or Napoleon or something like that, and that's kind of their fantasy. But the vast majority appear to be just common folk doing very common things, maybe recounting some traumatic event in their life. But for the most part, their lives are usually not all that extraordinary.
So they're not always important people.
They actually rarely are. She found in over 1,000 people she interviewed, only one person recalled a past life as a famous person.
Huh.
And there was a woman who recalled being James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States.
Right.
Now, whether that's really a famous person or not is kind of a matter of opinion. I think if I was going to make up a famous person, it wouldn't be the 15th president of the United States, who nobody really heard of. It would be Lincoln or somebody like that. But that was interesting. Out of 1,088, only one person had a kind of a celebrity memory.
Have you ever sat in on a past life hypnosis session? Not you, of course, being the subject, but somebody else?
Yeah, in fact, before I had it done on myself, I actually observed a couple of other people having it done, my sister and a niece of mine.
How long does it take to get them under, first of all?
Well, it varies from subject to subject. Some people can be put under very quickly. Others kind of struggle with it. If it's your first time, it can take a good 10, 15 minutes. A good therapist runs through a whole process to kind of pull you under slowly. But some people really can't be hypnotized at all. They're resistant to it for whatever reason. They're afraid of it. And then you can't really hypnotize those people.
All right, those that do get hypnotized and they get taken under, how do they first start talking about this past life?
Well, what the therapist will do will say, okay, imagine that you're in a boat on a river and you're going down this stream. And all of a sudden you want to pull over because there's something you want to see. You know, so you pull the boat over whenever you feel like it, and you get out. Now describe what you see. And then they will tell you usually where they're at, who they are. It was interesting. My sister recounted her first past life as an Indian man. And she took on that sort of almost a masculine feel about her. And she actually kind of spoke it sort of like an Indian would. You know, in that kind of Indian language.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to watch the personality transfers. So, I mean, it's a fascinating experience if you ever get a chance to sit in on one. But, you know, most people aren't too keen on having you watch them.
Has anybody ever been so emotionally overcome by a regression that, you know, something changes them?
Well, I think just the regression itself will often have a profound impact on your life later on.
Does it help you or hurt you?
Well, in my case, I think it helped me. I think it made me more aware of the why I am the way I am, the interest I have in my life today, and what shaped me. I do know people who become so traumatized while they're recounting a past life that the therapist has to, you know, stop it or pull them out of it. They become very anxious, upset. I know in my own case where I was recounting my niece's death at childbirth that I became very emotional, and I'm not a man who's taken to crying, you know, but I mean, I couldn't stop weeping. And I mean, I was aware of the fact that I was weeping, and yeah. I was like, watching myself. I thought, why am I doing this?
You know, and you couldn't stop.
I couldn't stop because I was feeling this man's emotions and how torn up he was over this.
Do you think everybody should undergo this?
No.
Why not?
I don't think everybody should. I think that people who really have a need for it or are ready for it.
How do you know that you have a need for it?
Well, I suspect if it's something that is eating at you. I think that your higher self, your soul, will tell you if you need to go down that path and explore that area. I think some people become so obsessed with these things that they'd probably be better off not to do them. But for some people, it just feels right to do it. And if you feel that way, it's just something inside you says explore this, then those are the people who probably should really do it.
You know what? That I may do something like this. I've never really done a past life regression, and you know, it might be something that might be interesting. And I guess they could tape it, right? They always do.
Absolutely. Have you ever been hypnotized?
Well, I did. You know, a couple of years ago, a doctor did something like that. I don't think it was true hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of spinning of an apparatus that was fluttered your eyes.
Mm.
It wasn't pure hypnosis. It was, you know, it was his attempt to put me back into time.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds a little unusual because most of the therapists that I've dealt with don't use any kind of devices or anything.
No, this wasn't he wasn't a therapist.
Oh, okay.
This may have been a whacked out scientist.
Yeah, mad scientist or something. But yeah, if you ever get an opportunity, I'd recommend it. You probably would find it to be, at a minimum, a fascinating experience.
Well, Jeff, I want to take phone calls next hour. I want people to share their stories of reincarnation. Perhaps they know who they were. And that's an interesting question. Do they find out only in hypnosis? Maybe they just have this sense. They know who they were. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think you see a picture of Lindbergh or somebody. You have such a connection with that person in history or something that, you know, that may be indicative of the fact that you were that person or you knew that person very well.
I mean, people who have an affinity for a certain language, for
Absolutely.
Example.
Or country, yeah. I've always had a fascination with Germany. Never been there, but took German in high school, always was interested in Germany. Turns out that I had been a German soldier, so it makes sense.
I've always been fascinated with space. Don't tell me I'm an extraterrestrial from way gone back.
Well, I think that's kind of been established, hasn't it?
Yeah, that could be, too. That could be, too. Can we email you?
Yeah, absolutely. Through my website at Our Curious World, there's a link on there that says email me, and that's where you can get a hold of me.
And where do we get the new book, Mystery of Reincarnation?
If you go to my website, I do have a link there. You can click on it. It's going to be re-put out by iUniverse, print on demand. It's going to be another week or two before it's available, but it should be up and running in the next week or two, so they can get it through there.
Okay, next up, we shall open up the phone lines, all of them. Questions for Jeff Allen Danilek, or perhaps you want to share your story. Who might you have been in another life? I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.